Dave, when you went to say hunk, I thought you were going to say chunk. And I was going to say amen, amen. Well, it sure is good to be with you today. God is faithful. We have a lot of wonderful memories from Ebbison Heights. Believe this or not, young people, I remember when this place was brand spanking new. But you know something, this building doesn't show its age like a lot of the people in it. I think that was one of the reasons I haven't been invited back. I think the last time I was here, I said to the chairman, "What's that fly doing in my water?" And you know what he said? The backstroke. See, I really don't know if that's nervousness or the first stages of Parkinson's, okay? For those of you that are aging, so am I. I don't know if you noticed or not. But one of the wonderful things about aging, this is not our message. This is just useless information I want to pass on to you today. But one thing about aging is we can laugh at ourselves now. Have you ever noticed that? See, when we're young, we wouldn't admit making a mistake or, forgetting something, all the rest of it. But when you get older, you learn to laugh at yourself. It'd be great if we could put ourselves in the dryer for 10 minutes and come out wrinkle-free and three sizes smaller. Last year, I joined a support group for procrastinators. We haven't met yet. I don't trip over things. I do random gravity checks. Someone has said old age is coming at a really bad time. When I was a child, I thought nap time was punishment. Now, as a grown up, it just feels like a small vacation. Now, young people, you can't relate to that, but I'm going to guarantee you one thing. If the Lord doesn't come or death claim you beforehand, you're going to experience it. You're going to experience it. Well, today I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians. I did ask for an hour, but I didn't get it, so I may have to finish this next week. But I was told I asked too late, okay? I asked too late. Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to particularly zero in on one verse to introduce our subject here today. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better." Shall we pray? Father, it's not by chance that we gather here today, but we believe it's divine appointment. According to your sovereign will, you've chosen today for us to meet in this place. And Lord, we have not come today to be bored, but we've come today desiring to be blessed by your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you're in our midst, and we thank you that the Scriptures, the living Word of God, is powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, what an awesome privilege we have today to speak about you. We love you. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says, so that you may know him better. I can't think of any pursuit in life that we would be more fulfilling and more rewarding than the pursuit of the knowledge of the Holy One. I cannot think of any pursuit. And yet, isn't it amazing today how many people live their lives with very little thought about God, very little thought about the hereafter, very little thought about the very fact that we have to give an account of our lives before Him. They live their life under the sun without very little recognition that God is a sovereign of this universe, and our goal should be to get to know Him. Now, we can get to know Him in an intellectual way. We can get to know about God, what God is like. But I believe in Paul's prayer, and this is not what we're going to entirely look at this morning. I believe that Paul's desire is that, do you know what? I can understand, or I can try to understand and gain knowledge of the attributes of God, the greatness of God, yes, God's character. But you know what Paul also wanted us to experience? And that is to experience Him intimately, is to know Him, is to really know the One who created all things, to really get to know God in God's heart and experience Him in our lives. There's a lot of people know about God, but they really don't know Him. It's a lot like Psalm 23. A lot of people can recite the psalm, but they don't know the shepherd. So today, my desire is, and I trust, that in our lives, that yes, we ought to gain knowledge, that our knowledge may grow about God, but also experientially, we should grow in our relationship with Him. We're going to start out today with God. As we come into the Scriptures in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we find that in the beginning, God. We maybe have a question that, okay, where did God come from? We know today what our scientists, educators propagate. Some people believe that there is no God. And incidentally, and as young people know, when we are taught, you're taught evolution, it's still only a theory. It's not fact. It's only a theory. But when it comes to God, it really helps when we see things from God's perspective rather than from man's perspective. The scientist, the natural man, the secular man, he will look at life from life's perspective. He will look at it from his vantage point, and he looks out and about, and he tries to discover and find out, you know, about God. Well, not really. How did this all come about? Well, folks, as someone says, it takes greater faith to believe in evolution than it does in creation. And I believe that with all my heart. Just to think that this all happened. Okay, if it is the Big Bang Theory, but you know, what about God? What about God? Well, we have to go back to the fact that, how do we know about God? Well, we would not know anything about God unless God first took the initiative to reveal Himself to us. Okay? See, unless God reveals Himself, then I'll know nothing about Him. Well, how did God reveal Himself? I believe the fact that what Scripture teaches, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19. If we go over to Romans, the early chapters of Romans, what does Paul say? He says there's evidence enough there to prove that, you know, God, or I shouldn't say prove, but of God's existence. Creation abounds around us. Let's just stop there for a moment. Creation. Wow. Declares, the heavens declare the glory of God. What does it tell me when I look into the heavens? If I, on a dark night, clear night, and I see the stars around me, you know what all this indicates to me? And creation that abounds at this time of year, there had to be an intelligent designer. That's what it tells me. There had to be an intelligent designer. See, things don't happen on their own. Now, we find that the cause and effect. When we think of the fact that how did things exist? Well, there's always a cause. God is uncaused, we're caused, right? Creation is caused, God is uncaused. So therefore, when we think of God, and we don't have time to go into this in depth this morning, but when we look at creation, there's lots of things we can see about God that is revealed. Now, someone has said, yes, these are little clues. If you go back to theology books, they call them theistic proofs. Well, maybe better said, evidence or clues of the existence of God. Okay, creation about us. Excuse me. You have an awful dry preacher this morning. And you know what? It's not polite to not offer it to you folk. It's not. So if you care for one. Okay, then let's back up just a little bit in our thinking. Then who is this uncaused person? Again, God chose to reveal this to a man called Moses. Remember one day that Moses was out shepherding the sheep. And Moses, it was just before his last, remember Moses lived for 120 years. His first 40 years he was in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness or desert, tending sheep, and 40 years leading the children of Israel. So just before he went back to deliver his people, remember God met Moses at the burning bush. What a wonderful revelation that day. As Moses observed, there was a bush. It was burning, but it was not consumed. And when Moses went over to the bush, he was told to take the shoes off his feet. He was standing on holy ground. He was standing in the presence of God. And you know, after God spoke to Moses, Moses says, well, the people, if I go to deliver my people, who am I to tell them? What am I to tell them? Or who is it that has instructed me to deliver you from bondage? And you know what God said? I am that I am. I am that I am, Yahweh, which means I am the self-existing one. Where did God come from? I believe from the revelation in Scripture. We talked about the revelation of God in creation. We come to the revelation of God in Scripture, how God revealed himself to different individuals, even through his name, but he is the self-existing one. Who created God? He was never created. God is the Spirit. God always existed. The Scripture says that he always was, he is, and always will be. Remember, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the what? The beginning and the end. So when we come to God, he's the one that always existed. He's the self-existing one. Now, that's hard for me to understand. But it's not too hard to believe and accept. When we experience him in our lives. And we begin to, when we begin to see from God's perspective, life from God's perspective, you know, I find that I begin to understand life. Because today we're going to look at a subject, and you'll really question when I say the fact that God is good. That's what we're going to look at today. Oh my. I better hurry up. God is good. And you're going to say to me, Gary, is God really good? And I'm going to say to you, God is good. Now, God has revealed himself in creation. God has revealed himself in the scriptures. God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, as we all know, into this world. That's why we have Christmas and Easter, why he came. And you know what he said? I and the Father are one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. In John chapter 17, in his high priestly prayer, do you know what he said to his heavenly Father? I have revealed you to those that had followed him, or you'd given to him. What was Jesus' purpose of coming into the world? Well, one was to reveal the Father. Oh, when we see the heart of Christ, do you know what we see? The heart of our heavenly Father. When he spoke the truth about God and God's truth to us in the person of Jesus Christ. For instance, we go to the book of Hebrews. It says, in times past and in diverse manners, God spoke unto the fathers through the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us through whom? His Son, Jesus Christ. So God has spoken to us as Jesus through Christ, and he has revealed the Father to us. And not only, and he and the Father were what? One. So we see God revealing himself through creation, the scripture says. We see a God revealed through creation, through the scripture, through the Son. Oh, and this one is a good one. Do you and I believe today? God's desire, okay, this is for everyone. God's desire is to reveal himself through his people. Oh, yeah. See, we have God, the Holy Spirit, living within us if we're a child of God. And we are to be conformed, or we're to be transformed and conformed into the image of who? Gary Robinson? Absolutely not. His dear Son. And I believe today that God wants to reveal himself through the church to the world. How shall they know that you are my disciples? How, folks? Because I am brethren. I go to, Emerson Heights Bible Chapel. No, folks, it's in that you love one another. See, God wants to reveal himself to the world that they might see our good works and what? Glorify our Father who is in heaven. You're part of this revealing of God to the world. Oh, does that make us important? Not in our own eyes, but to God. Yes. Okay. God, or the revelation of God. I said all that to say this, is when we think of God, what is his character like, or his attributes? Some say that could be in two categories. The one is his infinite power, and the other category is simply his personality, what God is like in person. Now, I don't know about your God. I don't know about your God. But as I talk to people, I find people have their own ideas of God. And boy, are they limited. And might I say, many are very confused. Why? Because the God that I serve is a holy God. What about your God? Does he wink at sin? Does he permit us to live whatever way we want to live and feel that we can get away with it? Oh no. When we come into the presence of God, dear friends, I believe in our pursuit of God, it's going to affect the way we live, and it's going to affect the way we worship. It's going to affect the way we pray. Our understanding of God. Whose presence, excuse me, it bothers me when I hear people referring to God as the man upstairs. Oh, what disrespect. What disrespect. You know, we so loosely and glibly, sometimes we come into the presence of God, we fail to express who God really is. See, what God wants us to do when we come into his presence, just like the Lord Jesus' prayer to his disciples, it's a wonderful thing to recognize whose presence you're in, because it's going to change your attitude as you talk to him, right? No. He's not a buddy. He's the holy sovereign of this universe. And when we come into his presence, I believe we should acknowledge him as such. And so when it comes to the attributes of God, understanding God, God is omnipotent, or let's forget the omnis. He can see all things. He's all powerful. God knows all things. You can probably list, I think there's 20-some attributes we probably could list. I want to zero in this morning on the fact that God is good. I'm sure you remember the verse. We sing a little chorus that says, God is so good. So, you know, kind of a Sunday school chorus. It's in our hymn book. God is so good. It's not difficult, folks. Even older people can remember the words. But also we remember the fact that the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to suggest this morning that God is the standard of goodness. See, so often, people's thought of God is God's way out there, and if I do something wrong, he's there with a big long stick, and he's going to chastise you because you do wrong. Should we do wrong? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But by the same token, God is not sitting on his throne just ready to punish everyone. Oh, yes, there's accountability. I'm not denying that. And when it comes to the goodness of God, I'm not forgetful of the fact what it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. What does it say? Behold the goodness and the severity of God. It's like people who preach that God is only a loving God. God is love. But you know what? That same God is a God of wrath. Well, you see, it contradicts. No. See, the problem when we look at the goodness of God is that we must see it from God's perspective, and the very fact we have to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and understand why we live in a broken world. You know, people blame God for things happening. Oh, I lost. Why did God take my child? Why did God take my job? You know what? I believe Satan is blamed for a lot more than he's guilty of. And I believe that we blame God for things that God's not responsible for. See, sin had such an adverse effect upon humanity. That's what we're living with. We work with human failure. Now, if you're backing out of your drive, okay, let's put it this way. If you're driving down the road, and I'm coming the other way, and you're admiring this big deer standing on the side of the road, and you veer over in front of me and snuff out my life like this, is that God's fault? Pardon me? No, it's your stupidity. See, there's human error in life. as well as the fall of man, sin in the world that affects the world. Sometimes we say in countries about starvation. Well, folks, now, God loves those people as much as he loves us. God's goodness abounds, but why are they starving to death? Well, you know what? It's like the country of Haiti. What about voodoo? What about the sins of the people and choosing to go contrary to God? Sometimes these things are self-inflicted. Now, does God love? Does God want to pour out his goodness? He does want to pour out his goodness. Now, let me use another illustration. Okay, how many of you here ever had, no, most of you have had kids, I assume. No, I'm not talking about the front row, okay? No. No. Man, you look so much younger than the rest. I can't believe it. How many have had kids? Well, we've all had kids that are married. And maybe if you didn't, maybe it was a good choice. But you know all that we want from our kids? You ever think about it? It's very simple. I just wanted my kids to love me. I want them to obey me. And you know what? Now, I'm totally from a human perspective. As a result of that, I want to really be good to them. I want to be good. Why? Well, because I felt they deserved it. You know, that they showed their love. It's pretty hard to be good to someone who's not very good. Okay, this is humanly. Oh, I know, folks. To go beyond that and to be good to someone who doesn't deserve it, oh, that's God's goodness. That's God's goodness. But all I'm just saying this morning, just it's a bit of a lame illustration, but then you have to understand who's sharing it. And that is that, you know what? That's all we expect. But oh, when it comes to God's goodness is for everyone. Now, let's just stop and look at God's goodness here for a few moments. We're going to conclude with it. First of all, we see God's goodness in creation. What do you mean? Remember when God concluded creating, what did he say? It was good. It was good. And then when he finished, what did he say? It's very good. It's very good. Now, have you ever drawn? Maybe some of you are not artists. Anybody here that's an artist today? Okay, nobody. Okay. Carpenter. We got carpenters here, don't we? Surely, to goodness, we have carpenters. We have electrician. When he's done, somebody's going to look and say, that's good. But then the question is it perfect? It's not. Why? Because Dave Ivey did it. Sorry, Dave, I love you, but I got to get back at you somehow. Now, when God made it, folks, it was very good. Very good. Man, I wished I had been Adam. I woke up to see what God made for him. She was very, 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 very good. I'm talking about Eve, of course, okay? Yes, it was good. What God makes is good. Now, not only in the sense of the God's goodness, God's perfection, but also it was beneficial. Oh, isn't that something else? God's creation was beneficial to us. We are recipients of God's goodness. You know, we say, well, God is just good to us today. No, God has always been and always will be good. We can see signs of God's goodness, evidence of God's goodness. God's goodness in creation. What about God's goodness in the laws or commands? We go over to Romans chapter 7, it is, in verse 12. What does it say? The law is holy, and his commands are holy, righteous, and good. Oh, God's laws are good. Isn't that interesting? Because the heart of man, a sinful man, well, what was the purpose of the law, number one? The purpose of the law was to show our sinfulness. You know, when we looked at we're going to look at the Ten Commandments, and, you know, what does Paul say? If we break one, we're guilty of all. And really, it was put there, it was like a plumb line to show our our wickedness, and really, we were to acknowledge that we couldn't keep the law, and then we turned to Christ. The law is good. The commands of God are good. Okay, let's go back to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Good command? Now, either some of you have passed out. No. I like it when you shake your head. In fact, I'll even take in amen once in a while. Okay. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, what about the first command? We're not to have any other gods before us. Do you think that's a good command? Okay, if God is good, and God has us, our good in mind, knowing that we are not to have any other gods before us, wow. I personally think that's a very good command. What about the one, thou shalt not commit adultery? Huh. A lot of people don't like that command. But she is absolutely a good command. And I don't have to go in to all the reasons why that is a good command. Now, I want to tell you something. It's amazing how many lies and other laws that are broken, or commandments are broken, when a person starts down that road. And what I don't understand is, Christians, oh, there's denial, deception. Like, hey, hello? Oh, you know, I feel the Spirit of God leading me to this person. And then let's back up to the beginning, and there's all this deceptions and lies and all the rest of it. And this is of God? Hello? No, no. See, God's commands are what? And laws? Oh, the commandments of the Lord, the laws of the Lord are perfect. You know, folks, God, when He set those standards, they were good. They continue to be good. And if we live by them, we'll experience God's goodness. Okay, we just have a couple more things we want to look at. What about the things that happen in our lives? Okay, we see that God is good in creation. God's good in the laws. Well, yes, and God's good in His providential care. God's good to everybody. Did you know that? Oh, what do you mean? Oh, did you notice that the rain falls? Does the rain only fall on your property? You mean you might have an old reprobate next? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You might be Royden's neighbor. You may have somebody next door that you just don't care for. Real old miserable troublemaker. Yeah. Do you know any of those people? Sure we do. But you know what? God's rain falls upon the just as well as the unjust. And what I'm saying this morning is that God's goodness is to everyone. God has poured out His goodness. And the last part I want to come to and just spend a few moments is the verse that's found in the book of Ephesians. And you know what it says? All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I want to just back up just a little bit. I don't mind. I make mistakes. And as you get older, you accept those mistakes. Now, I just want to read something about God's goodness here. I want to read just a little earlier. Often I've heard people say, how good God is. We pray that it would not rain for our church picnic, and look at the lovely weather. Yes, God is good when He sends good weather. But God was also good when He allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my eyes in the German concentration camp. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark. There was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. We've all been there, haven't we? No, Corey, she said. He has not forgotten us. Remember his word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Corey concluded, there is an ocean of God's love available. There's plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances. See, when our lives have been dealt a miserable hand, oh, I know some of you are too saintly to play cards. But we pray rook and old mate. If we don't get a good hand, do we ever complain? Sure we do. Yes, if life's circumstances are not so pleasant, I didn't realize. I've known Ray Harrington for a number of years. I knew his parents. And this morning, it was news to me of what he's experienced in his life. But God never ceases to be good. God never ceases to be good. And you know, if we allow those things of life, as Paul said in Ephesians, he said that all things work together for good to those who love God. Oh, God can turn ashes into beauty. God can allow things to happen that will build character in our lives, will build our faith. And one thing we don't know, well, there is something we do know. And that is this present life that we have no idea what's awaiting us when we get to glory. How that is going to be translated into our eternal reward. Folks, God is good no matter the circumstances in life. In our lives as a child of God. Now, you may say, how is it possible? How is it possible? One Sunday I was traveling preaching, and used to be Canada, was person on that morning. It was out of Belleville, and Paul Bronson, that some of you people know, he has a couple-hour program, and they're the Hymns of the Faith, and somebody was filling in for him. And this person, it was just after those Coptic Christians had been slain by ISIL. And apparently one of the family members who lost, I believe it was two of his family to ISIL, wrote in and talked about the fact that how their faith in Jesus Christ had strengthened them, and how that they were not bitter toward ISIL. Was that something? Why? Because if we see life from God's perspective, it changes everything. What I mean from God's perspective. We had a lady in our home just recently, and she lost her son here just a couple of years ago in a boating accident. And periodically, she has to open up and talk about it. And she said something the other day that was so cute. It's been, the grieving process is hard. Okay, I'm just going to ask, how many have lost loved ones? Put your hand up. Yeah. Do you know what the truth is? There's a funeral. Funerals never cease in the world. Never cease. In trying to work this all out in her mind. She said, I had a revelation the other day. A revelation? I said, go for it. She said, you know, I view life now, or I see, that it's like playing the game, board game, Snakes and Ladders. Wasn't that cute? And I kind of wonder where she was going with that. And she said, do you know that sometimes when you roll the dice, you land on a certain rung, and it takes you right to the top. And she said, the revelation that came to me was that, you know what? My son is already there. God chose to take him maybe at the second rung, okay? He's already there. And you know what? I'm still going up that ladder. Now, she's not talking about working your way to heaven. But what she's saying in the process of life, yes, he got promoted ahead. You know, I had a dear gentleman some time ago, and talking about this thing, now I'm just going to use ISIL, and if they were all truly born of the Spirit of God, that is, we wish that ISIL was, or, yeah, no, the Coptic Christians, definitely some of them were believers in Jesus Christ. But you know, one of the things when it comes to death, for the child of God, folks, I'm looking at it from an old timer, okay? But you know what? Death isn't the end. It's a wonderful entry into the very presence of the one we've been talking about. You've been promoted into glory. That we're just sojourners here. We're just passing through. And some in life are only here for a short time. Some are left around. Oh, Dave was saying, I knew Dave's grandmother. Did you say 98? But God had a mission for her. God bless her. God had a mission for her. But all I'm saying, death is not the end. And I want to say today in conclusion, and okay, the goodness of God is seen in creation. God is a good God. Oh, think, we put, man goes out and he drills for oil. Man goes out, he drills for, or he digs up gold. Just think of the renewable. How many burn wood here? I know you're in the city. I know I'm in the banana belt, but some of you still burn a little bit of wood. It's a renewable resource, isn't it? Every time that old, you know, my printer kicks out paper, I'm back in the sticks. And I say, isn't it wonderful that trees are a renewable resource? Because all this paper we use. See, there's so many things. Do you care for, oh no, the lilies of the field? Who looks after them? What about the birds? Oh yes, in the wintertime, we buy a little bit of scratch, put it out for the birds. Only because we love seeing the birds, not because we're really concerned about them being hungry. But even if we didn't feed them, guess what? Somebody looks after them, someone who is awful, awful good. See, oh my, God's creation. So what I want to get across this morning is the fact that we need to look at life from the perspective that the one we serve is a good God. He's one that blessed us beyond measure. See, out of God's kindness comes God's mercy, love, and grace. But when we look at the goodness of God, God is a standard for goodness. God always will be, always was, will be, today and forever. God will be the standard of good. Wow. Is that the picture of the God that you serve? Wow. Do we live in gratitude day by day of the fact of God's goodness? Or do we complain? Something I read on a wall years ago. I had no shoes and complained until I saw a man who had no feet. Boy, sometimes we as God's people are not as grateful as we ought to be. One of God's faithful missionaries, Alan Gardner, experienced many physical difficulties and hardships throughout his service in the Savior. Despite his troubles, he said, While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me. In 1851, at the age of 57, he died of disease and starvation while serving on Pitcairn Island at the southern tip of South America. When his body was found, his diary lay nearby. It bore the record of hunger, thirst, wounds, and loneliness. The last entry in his little book showed the struggle of his shaking hand as he tried to write legibly. And you know what it read? I am overwhelmed with a sense of God's goodness. Do you know something today, dear friends? When I think of God's goodness, God's goodness in redemption. Wow. Did you ever think of that? The very fact and what comes with it, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, reigning with him future. Oh, the goodness of God. We're so undeserving. We were the ones that rebelled against God and God's commands. And to think that as a result of God's Spirit working in our lives and us trusting him, oh, dear friends, today, just to think that I have the assurance of eternal salvation based on the Word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you today, I know maybe your circumstances aren't pleasant, but I want to ask you today, can you truly say that God is good? God is good. And I trust, as we think of God's goodness, how it changes our attitude towards life, changes our attitude toward what we possess. Do you know something? I could tell you a story in conclusion. I'll soon get the hour in if I tell enough stories, okay? Leo Tolstoy. How many ever heard of Leo? The Russian novelist. War and Peace. It's great. War and Peace. My Confession or A Confession. He knew prosperity. He knew fame. He had 14 children. He searched out the meaning of life. He was trying to find the meaning of life. He didn't find it in having 14 kids. But anyway, in science, in philosophy, and I'm really abbreviating this morning, but do you know what struck Leo? Listen to this. The peasants of Russia, those that were believers. Do you know what he saw? He saw in their hardship there was joy. He saw the acceptance of struggle. And even in the face of death, they had this joy. And it was through the peasants in Russia and how they lived that Leo Tolstoy came to faith in Jesus Christ. See, it's not the argument. It's not that great argument that we need to convince people. Do you know what people want to see? They want to see evidence. Do you know what they want to see? They want to see that we're a revelation of the one that we're talking to them about. Get it? They want to first see that it's real, he's real in our lives. And what we have, we're convinced. And you know what? The happenings of life will disappoint you. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, joy is a result of a relation, not happiness. And so as we get to know God, And then we come into a closer relationship with him, and we fellowship with him day by day. The joy of the Lord. That's what we need. But you know something else I want to share today? I want to share with you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Not the television, not secular writings, not even Christian writings. If you want faith, and I find in my own life, I'm talking from experience, okay? And as you sure tell, I wasn't born yesterday. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You know what? The Word of God. Seeing life from God's perspective. Getting a revelation. Where are we going to get a better revelation than here? Folks, what's the world looking for? They're looking for reality in our lives. And you know what? We can only have goodness as we yield ourselves to Him and share in the goodness that He's given to us. And that's another subject. But may God bless, shall we pray. Father, we just want to confess this morning that there's times in our lives that we try to live independent of you. Lord, there's been times in our lives that we forgot how important it was to seek you. Lord, we have to admit today that in knowing you is really knowing fulfillment in this life, purpose, and the joy that we've been talking about. The joy that those Russian peasants demonstrated. And Lord, an atheist searching the meaning of life couldn't find it in meaning in any other place, but only found it in Jesus Christ. Father, I just want to conclude by saying thank you. Thank you that you revealed to us that Jesus Christ is the answer. And thank you today for all the promises we have in Him. We are so blessed. Just work in our lives, we pray. Make us a blessing, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just sing a verse of a hymn in conclusion. And how do we do it when life gets tough? Just the first verse, He giveth more grace when the burdens get greater. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. May we rise to sing just this one verse in conclusion. That helps, doesn't it? 4:15. 4:15. Even my wife can't read my mind. Oh, yes, He giveth more grace. May we rise.